This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Highest points total, but still got a red arrow. Welcome to Triple Captain. that's kind of a lie there. It's not my highest points total ever, but I think it's It's early in the morning and I can't think how to word this, but it's the highest points I've got but still got a red arrow. I think that's
so
the way to word
frustrating.
It.
Frustrating. These early morning podcasts as well, we're always a little bit down. I mean, you two haven't had, well, you've not had a particularly great week, and we didn't get a poem, so it's, you know, a disappointing
start.
Yeah,
no poem. No poem again, I'm afraid. Yeah, it's 9 a.m. and obviously the game week finished last night. I haven't quite had time to pen some lyrics.
Yeah.
But welcome, everybody. We are Triple Captain. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. I'm Luke Jurdy, and I'm joined, as ever, by my co-host, Rich Wolfenden.
Yes, hello. I finally had a green arrow at long last. My first one in, like,
well, hey.
5 weeks, and I finally recovered a position a little bit in the overall rankings. Ben's with us. How are you, Ben?
Oh, good.
Literally, as he took a sip, that was a bad time to ask the question.
Yeah, good green arrow this week. So, and I've taken over Adam Whale in the mini league. Now, I know that our listeners don't know who Adam Whale is, but our guest today does, and I'm going on a walk with my friend Adam Whale later. And I, you know, you just have those moments where you're just like, it's been weeks and weeks and weeks that I've been chasing you, and today is the day that I'm now halfway up the table rather than solid rock bottom.
Oh man, he'll be fuming. Anyway, yes, so our guest today is a commentator colleague of mine, also runs a podcast called The FPL Experiment, which he's going to tell us about later on. It's Adam Inker. How are you, mate?
Very good. How are you?
Yes, mate, all good. Like I was just saying, Green Arrow, it's quite nice. But I think we've got you on a bad week as far as your team goes, right?
Well, my own team, my individual team, I got 70 points. Which I think, as Luke was just saying, you're anticipating if you get 70 points that you're going to have quite a significant rise in rank. And I've gone down around 20k, which is a real killer. And in the experiment team, we had 75 points, and we've also had a red arrow. Horrendous.
That's so unlucky. So tell us about the experiment team first. You can probably explain it better than I can.
Thanks for having me on, by the way.
No worry, mate.
Pleasure to have you, mate. Pleasure to have you.
So the experiment team, there's three of us, and we've all played fantasy football for years. And probably like you guys, it dominates conversations far too much.
Yeah.
And it's all we talk about all the time. So we decided what we were going to do as part of the experiment, that we would have one team that three of us control. And the experiment is, can we get that team to finish in the top 50K? So that it's our first year of doing it. We set ourselves the challenge. The other two have been phenomenal at fantasy football for a long time. And so it felt like there had to be a bar. There had to be something quite high. So finishing in that top 1%, you know, seemed like that was a good thing to do.
Right. And how is the FPL experiment going?
Do you know what? The last couple of weeks, we've actually been pretty good. We had a few weeks where we just plateaued, like 4 or 5 weeks where everything had been okay, but it was just average scores. So we had like a big conversation, because if you don't move anywhere for 4, 5, 6 weeks, it's quite frustrating. You're like, I put all this time and effort into the podcast. As you guys know, there's a lot that goes into not only making the podcast, editing, possibly prep, those sort of things. You're spending so much time looking at it and it doesn't move. So we had some really big conversations. We need to make sure that we nail captain. We're leaving that right until the end of the podcast. And our captain decisions, we spent loads of time choosing them, and we haven't picked a captain for about 4 or 5 weeks.
I don't think anyone has, though, Adam. Like, literally, the captain choices the last few weeks, it feels like everybody, I don't know if it's just FPL Twitter, but everybody keeps getting it wrong. I mean, you know, like, Son has been a potentially good captain option for a few weeks in terms of the fixtures, but obviously without Harry Kane there, he's not been doing it. I mean, how many people had Bruno Fernandes as vice captain this week after Mo Salah, after he scored those two goals?
I was so happy that Salah played, because there were so many people. It would have killed my team. It would have killed the experiment team as well. I actually think, as far as captain is concerned, possibly there's an opportunity, definitely this week, to be a bit bolder with who you choose, because every week, well, I don't know about you, but I'm quite safe with my captain choice. I'll go for one of the big hitters against a poor team. So this week, there aren't too many captain choices, because City play Liverpool. So I'm kind of, I'm looking at that thinking, Fernandes against Everton, if Pogba is back, doesn't scream out to me. I think this week there's an opportunity to be a bit more rogue and with your captain choice, and that might see you jump up the rankings.
Souček against Fulham.
Souček against Fulham. You know what? Everybody underestimates Souček every week. I think everybody in this on this podcast has been stung by Souček. So, you know what? I wouldn't even tear my nose up at that decision. So, but yeah, Ben, I'd recommend you captain Souček. Give that one a go.
So where are both your teams overall rank-wise, Adam?
My own team has moved down to 125k, so I've dropped about 40,000 places in the last 2 weeks. But like I said to you, I've not done badly. It's just that others around me have absolutely killed me. The experiment team is 150k. So again, we went down this week. So it's not too bad, but we'd like to be higher.
Yeah, that's still pretty good. With the FPL though, like obviously, like this podcast is just us discussing who's going to have who. Like, surely it just eventually comes to whoever's got the login details for the experiment team, what the final team is.
Yeah, I mean, we did have a huge problem with that at the start of the season, because what I've done, because why wouldn't you? I've got my own team on the desktop version, and I've got the experiment team on the app. But one guy just confused the two. So Greg and our podcast confused the two. And woke up in the morning and was like, guys, I'm really sorry. I know that we've just done a whole podcast and discussed that we were going to bring in Son, but I've accidentally put Chilwell into the team. So
so is this a bit like when Smooth Radio tweeted, nah, mate, I'm got to go home? Is it like that? Son's got the wrong account. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. That is good, though.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Smooth Radio.
So actually, it's only me that looks at the team. So on the app, so the others actually don't touch it. And it has crossed my mind a couple of times, because when you disagree with a transfer, like, it's hard enough to make your own decision, but to make a decision that involves three people, sometimes you just have to suck it up, even though you're thinking that's not who I would have brought in. And it has crossed my mind on occasions just to completely sabotage and go my own way. But then that's not really the idea of the podcast. Yeah.
We usually like run through how our game weeks have gone. Do you want to run through your experiment team or through your team?
I can do whichever you like, Rich.
I think we should go for the experiment. Yeah, definitely let's have a look at the experiment team. I'm intrigued.
The experiment team this week, we didn't make any transfers as far as I'm aware. No, we didn't make any transfers. So we've got two for this game week. So we've got Martinez in goal. Robertson, Cancelo and Cresswell played for us across the back. In midfield, Salah, Gundogan, Fernandes, Rafinha and Madison. And then up front, we've got Antonio and Bamford.
Solid team.
Nice. That's that back line, solid as well, though.
Yeah, so this week we're thinking, and what we've said, is that we're going to get rid of Robertson with the idea that we bring Shaw in, because Robertson at the moment is really expensive. They've got Leicester and City this week as their next two fixtures. Shaw's been really good from an attacking perspective. So if he's fit, we're just going to watch out for the team news, because there was maybe a question mark about whether or not he'd be fit or not. If he's fit, we're going to bring Shaw in for Robertson. And then we'll have £10 million in the bank and we're happy with our team. That's mad, isn't it?
10 million.
I've never had that in FPL, ever.
Jeez, I mean, I'm looking at mine now and I've got 3 million in, and I'm like rubbing my hands here. Oh, 3 million in the bank. Jesus, 10 million. That's a whole Jamie Vardy pretty much right there, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's back as well, isn't he, this week? So, yeah, Vardy could be good. But, you know, I think those budget midfield options, there's so much value there. And I'm stealing some words from somebody else here, but if KDB was posting the same kind of numbers as Gundogan, then everybody would be really excited. And Gundogan at the moment is like 6 million, isn't he? 5.5?
Yeah, he's less than 6, I think. Yeah. Which is mental. And what was it you finished on again? 75
this week. So yeah, Madison was good for us. He's been a really good transfer in. Rafinha as well, we all really like. And it's quite nice to own a player that looks incredible on the pitch and then does the business for you. Because it's just like, I like having players that are exciting to watch. Like, if you watch a lot of football, you know, there are some players that you might have, for example, Callum Wilson, not that exciting to own, although he will come up with points. But watching him doesn't exactly make me go, oh yeah!
Yeah, go on, Wilson. No, Rafinha, because I had him in earlier in the season, and has he scored 2 goals in 2 weeks or 2 goals in 3 weeks, something like that? And I was doing the Leeds-Everton game the other day at TalkSport, And obviously Everton winning 2-0 at half time, and then we came straight out for the second half and Rafinha scored immediately. I've taken him out of my team. So the extra disappointment of Everton conceding with the cherry on top was Rafinha being the man who scored that goal. But either way, whatever, it didn't make too much difference to my team. Anyway, I want to tell you about my team because I've had a great week for a change in FPL. So the average this week was 57. Again, this season's like average is just, it's mad high, but I managed to get ahead of it and away from it, thankfully. So I finished on 89 points overall.
89?
89 points, blimey, yeah. Wow. I smashed it for a change. Usually I'm just getting the average and, you know, dropping to 5,000 places or something like that. But yeah, I'm up to 550K. So that's a good leap of about 150,000 places, something like that, which is nice. Mendy, he was literally, his head was beneath the guillotine. Like, I don't know how he's still in my team, but he's had 3 clean sheets on the bounce now.
I told you to keep him, Rich, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. God. but yeah, Tuchel's just doing things for Chelsea at the moment, which is mad.
We should talk about Chelsea defenders. Like, you know, is Alonso an option again in FPL? Yeah.
Rudiger, only 4.5
Rudiger,
million.
They started every game.
He seems to be starting. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, my defence, remember last week Dallas scored and I thought, no, I'll bring Justin in. He's got more attacking threat and Dallas scored. This week I thought, oh yeah, I made that mistake last week. I'll bring Dallas in and put Justin on the bench because Dallas has got more attacking threat. Oh wait, no, Justin scored this week. So, and he got in the... We're going to have to use the bleep machine again. Sorry, Tom. But he got in the Kings of the Week team, didn't he? 15 points from James Justin, just sat on my bench. And Dallas got a nice big one. Robertson with 2, brought in Maguire this week. He got me 5 points because I think Man United could be on for a couple more clean sheets over the next few weeks. And then Salah blanked as well. But then everybody else delivered. Grealish got 6, Gundogan got 8, Madison got 11. I put the captain's armband on Fernandes. So I'm delighted that paid off. And then Watkins and Antonio up front, 6 and 8 respectively. So yeah, a nice big 89, which I am absolutely thrilled with. And I've gone top of the Radio X FPL League. So I am absolutely buzzing with that. But yeah, how did you get on, Luke?
I can't believe you're top of a mini league and you're 550K. That standard must be low.
The quality of Radio X is awful.
shade throw.
Yeah, I'm very similar to your personal team, Adam, actually. I've just had... Like was doing really well. I think I was about 25K a good few weeks ago now, 6-7 weeks ago. And then as the weeks have gone on, I had an awful free hit week where I got like 30 points because I tried to be maverick. And then bench boost kind of brought me back up. But then I'm kind of just low, like small red arrows each week at the moment. And it was the same again this week, 70 points. I mean, you got 70 as well. I'd be interested to hear how similar our teams are. So I'm down to 96K now, which is annoying, but I can't be upset with my team. Like I look at my team and everyone returned apart from Sam Johnston, Son, Salah and Robertson. So Son, Salah and Robertson are 3 players that you really expect to return. And none of them did. Everybody else returned. I got clean sheets from Diaz and Stones, Gundogan with 8, Fernandez 17. I played Thomas Suchek and he got his goal, 9 points. And Calvert-Lewin and Bamford both returned. But it's just those really fine small decisions again. Justin on the bench, 15 points. Not captaining Fernandez and captaining Salah. And Ollie Watkins on the bench with 6, but in order to get Watkins and Justin's points this week, I would have had to have benched, for it to make a big difference, I'd have had to have benched Son, Robertson and possibly Salah. So it's just one of them where my bench is too strong and I need to get rid of players so that I don't have this problem each week. Because if I've got rid of them, I won't be complaining each week. Oh, I got rid of Justin 6 weeks ago and now he's scored 15 points. It's the fact he sat on my bench that is the problem. So down to 96K, and I'm also thinking, I've also got 2 free transfers this week. I'm also thinking of taking Robertson out. I'd like to urge caution on Manchester United defenders.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka. Don't be panic buying Wan-Bissaka. You do not need him.
Well, it's just that Adam said he was thinking about bringing in Shaw, and
yeah.
Basically, we if it wasn't for VAR, and it wasn't for Shea Adams' bad finishing, we'd have conceded two goals against Southampton, and we still look very dodgy at the back. But having said that, Shaw is looking great going forward. Wan-Bissaka is improving going forward. So, and Robertson just doesn't look like he's going to deliver the points that he delivered last season, despite the fact he's still one of the highest scoring defenders in the game. But midfielders at his price now, like Grealish, Maddison, Barnes, players like that, look like they're going to outscore him, which was always the argument for Robertson, was that he'll score better than any 7 million midfielder at that price. And I don't think that's the case anymore, particularly with their fixtures and their defence. They just look like they're going to concede every game, don't they, Liverpool? So that could be a bit of a problem. So I'm also thinking about Robertson out.
Yeah, I mean, it's Manchester City next, isn't it? And what are Manchester City, unbeaten in 17 in all competitions or something crazy like that?
Yeah, and I feel like I'd probably bench Robertson this week in terms of my other players, because, I mean, they're not going to keep a clean sheet against City, are they? I mean, he might get some attacking returns perhaps, but really, I think if you've got double City defence, you've got to play them again, haven't you, against Liverpool?
Yeah, the thing is, it really, really irritates me, because if anyone's going to break this Manchester City unbeaten run, you know it's going to be Liverpool. They're always the team that managed to do this sort of thing. You know,
and they're at Anfield, I suppose, yeah.
Wow, that doesn't matter anymore.
No.
Yeah, I know, but it kind of feels like Liverpool over the past few weeks have been like lulling Manchester City into this secure little mindset that they might have an easy game against them. But I don't think it's going to go that way. I think Liverpool could turn over Manchester City. I know they've had their clean sheets over the past few weeks, Manchester City, but you wouldn't put it past Liverpool breaking that run.
So losing 1-0 to Brighton at Anfield is a tactic.
Yeah, might be. It's all mind games. Klopp's good at that, you know that.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Adam, in terms of playing your City defenders, or playing, how many Liverpool and City are you going to play this week?
I really don't know what to do with my City defender, is the honest answer. So I've got Stones in my team, and he's really only there for clean sheets. And I don't see City keeping a clean sheet against Liverpool. In the experiment team, we've got Cancelo, and I think Cancelo we keep in because he is likely to provide attacking returns, or he can provide attacking returns is probably the better way to phrase that. He's essentially playing as a midfielder, so I could see he's a really good option. Whereas Stones in my team, I could potentially bench, but to be honest with you, the decision for me probably rests on playing either him or one of my bench options, and my bench is absolutely terrible. So Stones will probably have to start, which is a shame because I've got Charlie Taylor for Burnley. They've got a really good fixture, and I really like Burnley defence generally, apart from when Nick Pope decides to flap around. But after this game week, I'm looking at City defence, and we spoke a lot about this week on our podcast. What do you do with your double City defence? There isn't another team in the Premier League for me that are consistently keeping clean sheets. So for me, the question is, who do you transfer in, or who do you play instead? They're the best defence. They've changed the way that they're playing to become a lot more defensive. They play Spurs next, and Spurs haven't exactly been great without Harry Kane. It's probably going to be Harry's first game back. So I don't know what kind of form he's going to be in. They then face Everton, who, sorry, Rich, haven't been all that great as an attacking unit. And Arsenal, I could see City keeping clean sheets in all three of those games.
Big shout.
Yeah, if I had double City defence, I would be inclined to keep.
Yeah, no, I'm fully on board with that.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to keep them both. Yeah, I've got Diaz and Stones. And I guess the question is whether to play them both this weekend against Liverpool, and you are banking on a clean sheet there, aren't you? But which I wouldn't be surprised if they got it, but I can see that game being a cagey affair. I mean, it depends, doesn't it? You'd like to think that Klopp will approach it to attack, but will the past couple of results kind of put him off and worry that City might go and score two or three goals on the counter? Or, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. And it'd be interesting to see how many people play both. I think lots of people have got double City, and it'll be interesting to see how many people play both of them this game week. What have you got? Have you got double? No, you haven't got any City defence.
I haven't got any City. I think I'm the only player in FPL who doesn't have any defensive City options at the moment. So I was going to ask, do you reckon you'd bring one in for this game week? Because I'm looking at maybe bringing in Diaz for the injured Taylor at Burnley, which, you know, it kind of makes sense. No,
you've got to bring people in who've got good fixtures, I think. Like, there's nothing worse than bringing someone in and then them just failing miserably.
But their defensive form is just next level. I mean, I should have had this conversation like at the beginning of January, really. But, you know,
Adam thinks the clean sheets will be there. I don't. You know what? I could totally see City going to Anfield, and yeah, I can see them keeping Liverpool out as well, you know. It's just, I don't know what it is about Liverpool at the moment. They just don't, like, obviously they've got a few players who are ill, aren't they? Like, what's happening to Mane at the moment? Is he, because he wasn't even in the squad, was he? So is it illness? Like,
I actually don't know what the issue is with Mane, but even with Shaqiri, they look all right. I mean, I wouldn't be rushing to bring in Shaqiri or anything like that, but, you know, they still look good going forward. It's just bizarre goals that they've been conceding. That's obviously because they don't really have anywhere near the standard that they're used to defensively. Mm. And they played that Kelleher, didn't they, ahead of Adrian at the weekend. So I don't know whether Klopp completely lost it.
They spelt his name right this time, did you see?
Oh, did they?
Yeah. The first time he played, they missed out an E in his name. It's like, hang on, lads, come on. He's bloody starting for Liverpool here, the champions of Europe. Like, surely, tell the kit man to get his bloody name right.
Yeah, well, so I don't know, basically, is what I'm going to do for this weekend. I might just stick with it. And hearing that you've got 10 million in the bank, Adam, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe it's not such a bad thing that I've got a few million quid knocking around, because, you know, just keep it in the bank for a rainy day, don't you? That's why you have a savings account. So, you know, that's why I'm going to keep all of my money. But yeah, Ben, how did you get on?
I got 71 points this week, so quite chuffed with that. I have to say, boys, a big thank you to you, because I knew, I mean, Manchester half delighted and half disappointed me this weekend. That's kind of how I feel generally when I go to Manchester. But they delighted me because I bought in Anthony Martial. But the only reason I bought in Martial is because I wanted to bring in Mahrez, because obviously he's had a few. What did he get? Is it three? Did he get a hat-trick, or was it two goals against Burnley in the last game? Mahrez scores hat-trick. Goals against Burnley, yeah. And I thought, I really wanted to get Mahrez in, but then put the captain's armband on him and he really disappointed me. But yeah, Martial coming in with 13, Antonio 8, Watkins 6, Fernandez 17, didn't put the armband on him, gutted, Diaz and Stones. It's the premiums, 2 from Son, 2 from Salah. Like, surely that's got to turn around soon. I think, like, looking at Son, he does have that kind of, like, oh my God, the last few weeks for Son, 2-2-2-5-2. Oh, like, that is not a lot of point. And, you know, the last time he got a big haul was game week 17, where Spurs beat Leeds 3-0 and he got 13 points. That's the thing, though. He is capable of these big hauls, isn't he? Like, against Arsenal, he got a goal, assist, and 2 bonus points, and that was his last big haul before Leeds. I feel like Son has got to explode soon. I feel like we've got to have one of those games where Son returns a hat trick. Like, I'm even thinking that I might captain him this week against West Brom.
Oh, don't do that. Did you see? All right, they're playing West Brom, but did you see the Chelsea game or any of the Chelsea game last night?
Yeah. It was so awful.
My
it?
God, it was absolutely woeful. I put a rom-com on with Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant because it was so dull. 2 weeks' notice was the film if you're interested. But yeah, it was just
that again. That's what you get if you put Mourinho as your manager. It's as simple as that. It will always happen. It will always eventually get to this stage. And now they've got to this stage and Harry Kane's out and he was masking a multitude of sins, I think. I mean, they just don't look good at all. But yeah, no. Ben, having said that, they're about to play West Brom. Will Mourinho suddenly say, you know, will they work on attacking drills in training and suddenly become quite good at attacking again for a week? Who knows? West Brom are awful as well. So you're right to target the opposition, but I think it's a big risk, isn't it, putting on Son in terms of the form. You're going against everything that's going on at the moment. But I'm the same. I'm tempted to captain him.
Yeah. Have you had Son in your team much, Adam, this season?
Do you know what? I've had Son most of the way in my own team through the season. I actually benched him this week because I'd watched the previous game against Brighton, and Bale and Son up front together did absolutely nothing. It was horrendous.
What is that actually about?
I thought the best way for Mourinho to get anything from the game last night would be to play Vinicius. But obviously, you chucked him for your first Premier League game against the Chelsea team in form at the back. You know, it's a bit of a baptism of fire. It's a bit unfair on the poor lad. So he actually had a really good opportunity to score Vinicius. So maybe he plays in the next game against West Brom, and maybe he's better. I actually wouldn't be too surprised to see Harry Kane feature against West Brom. I don't know whether or not it will be from the bench or not, but there've been some fairly good noises from Mourinho that he might be back.
Still a full red triangle on FPL though, with an unknown return date still. So, you know, the app haven't updated it yet. It's one of those things, isn't it?
You can't really
trust Mourinho either, can you? Like, I kept Kane in when he first got injured, thinking that he might make a cheeky appearance and it might be Mourinho over-egging the pudding.
But, yeah, well, it was Ancelotti who was doing that at the start of the season, wasn't it? When Rodriguez was meant to be out. And then did he score two goals against West Brom or Brighton or something like that? But yeah, we benched Rodriguez at the weekend. Obviously, it worked out, but it's just weird how, the most creative player in our side can just be dropped and then all of a sudden Iwobi replaces him and we become all right, which is quite strange.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
But anyway, we've been rambling enough. Should we talk about what we're going to talk about on the podcast, even though we've been recording for a good 20 minutes already? Do you want to tell us what we're going to be talking about, Luke?
Well, we basically started already. We were going to talk about getting rid of whether to get rid of Son or not. So we can talk a little bit more about that. Also, West Ham. We'd like to discuss West Ham after Jesse Lingard joined and scored a brace.
Jaylings.
Who out of West Ham do we pick from? They look really good. And I can't remember the other. Man United.
Yeah, I think he's been modest here. Nine-nil smashing of Southampton, I think.
Oh yeah, of course,
that happened.
Yeah, great. What do you want to start with?
Should we start by talking about Man United? Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, why not? If that's what you want, yeah, let's talk about United. 9-0 demolition of Southampton. 9-0 demolition. VAR was insane again. Let's not forget that. And it would have probably been maybe 6-0 if it wasn't for VAR. But we absolutely blew them away. We really did. The fact that we got that early goal and broke them down and the goals just kept coming. As a Fernandes owner, it was another odd one as a Fernandes non-captainer, because you look on live FPL and he's over 100% effective ownership. So if he scores points and you haven't captained him, it will actually negatively affect your rank. Very, very small amount, but it did. But I wasn't bothered. Of course, I still wanted him to score and return because I prefer points than not having points. But it took him a long time to get on the points, didn't it?
I don't think he was involved in anything in the first four goals, was he? And I was like, Man United 4-0, and Fernandes hasn't done anything. I'm furious. But thankfully, second half it turned around. And Ben, you were absolutely fuming at the beginning of that game because, like you said, you didn't know whether to go Cavani or Martial, and you went Martial, and Solskjaer started Cavani, didn't he?
Yeah, fuming. But then when he came on at half time, you just can't believe what happened, can you? There's a lot of people fuming that Shaw came off. And if I'd had him in my FPL team, I would have been pretty gutted as well. Because did Shaw get two assists in that first half?
Yeah, he did.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, bearing in mind, we were laughing about Luke Shaw at the beginning of the season. Remember, they'd played about 8 games and he'd played 90 minutes of every game but had 0 points in FPL. He's just suddenly come out of nowhere. He's one of the best defenders in the league now. But I mean, what was it? I mean, like, the goals were just... Spread, what got into Man United?
I mean, it was there was a lot on Southampton's part as well, because,
well, yes,
9-0 twice.
A 2-minute red card for your brand new signing.
He was an academy. He's an academy lad, wasn't he? Wasn't he? He came through the academy and was making his first start, I think.
I felt so sorry for him. Like, you could just see the disappointment on his face because he had his big moment. And I've been in situations like that where you've got your big moment for something and you screw it up. And I thought he's going to be thinking about that for a good week.
Yeah, I felt sorry for him. Yankovic, was it? Something like that? I didn't even hear his name in the commentary until he got sent off. But he was... He's had a debut to remember anyway in his first Premier League start. But then, you've also got a feel for Jan Bednarek, don't you? I think he's got to have probably the worst weekend in terms of FPL weekends. I think -7.
And one person triple captained him. One person in FPL. I don't know why, but it's just going out, isn't it?
He's the first player in the history of the Premier League to give away a penalty, score an own goal and get sent off in one match in the first player in the history of FPL. But he's had a brilliant season before this, so presumably he was at least, 5% owned or something like that. Because he was in the top five defenders, I think, at the beginning of the game week, and presumably he's not anymore. Southampton, they just don't have a squad, do they, at all? They have a good first 11, but they just don't. That's the thing. Like, Ings isn't scoring at the moment either. Che Adams was good for a little while, but it's just they're gonna struggle now, aren't they? They're top of the league, and it seems to be a curse, really, doesn't it? Once you go top of the league, you start to slide. I mean, obviously the only way is down, but Tottenham have proper slipped, Southampton have proper slipped as well, Liverpool down to fifth, are they now? Something like that. It seems to be a proper curse at the moment.
I mean, you'd have to be a very brave man to do it, but putting somebody like Danny Ings in your team for the next few weeks would be interesting, wouldn't it? Because remember what happened last time they won 9-0. They then went on this incredible run of wins and bounced back in a fantastic fashion.
They've got
Newcastle next, then Wolves, Chelsea, Leeds, Everton, Sheffield. They've got a really nice run of fixtures there. Is anyone going to have the balls to stick Danny Ings in their team?
Do you know what? I was actually quite disappointed with that Manchester United game, because I was watching that game, firstly, to see what United's form would be like, because they got on this great run of fixtures. So I was thinking, are their defence okay? As you said, Luke, they're a bit shaky at the back. What are they going to look like against someone like Danny Ings, who's fairly decent? But also, Danny Ings, for me, was an option. But then he played the whole game at left wing. So there was really nothing to base that decision on. But those fixtures for Southampton are very, very good. And that's quite a nice left field pick, Danny Ings, who's somebody who consistently over the last 18 months has scored goals.
I guess the thing is that all the other strikers at the moment around lower than his price are all performing, aren't they? So it's going to be very difficult to go, I'm going to take that person out and gamble on Ings, because you'd rather keep the players that are in form in your team. But it's definitely a bit of a left field differential pick for the next few weeks, because, they played very badly, but they were unlucky. And, you just wouldn't expect that to happen again. I mean, I say that, but it did happen again. They lost 9-0 to Leicester. Oh. What I loved about that game was that Ollie brought Van der Beek on for Luke Shaw at half time. Mm. And if it was an injury, then I don't respect it as much. But I rate that a lot, because it was clear from the outset of that second half he wanted to get the goal difference up. And in previous seasons, our goal difference has been a bit of a problem. So I really, really liked that decision, and it paid off. Van der Beek basically went up front, didn't do much, but it was clear that that's what we wanted to do. And that's why Che Adams scored his goal and should have scored another one, because we were so open at the back, because Maguire was basically playing number 10. He was basically playing at the edge of the box.
It was crazy.
So to see a Man United team do that again was really great to watch. No mercy, just we're going to hammer these. And they did. But in terms of United as options, I think they've got a good few fixtures again now, but there's going to be a lot of knee-jerking to Rashford Wan-Bissaka. Shaw not so much, because I think Shaw is a decent option. His crossing is improved immensely, but you just got to know that Telles will play now and again. I think Shaw's not going to play every single minute. As we saw,
that's always been the risk, hasn't it?
Half time. That's always been the risk. Yeah. I mean, Rashford could be a nice differential option, particularly if you're looking to move Son out. You could go Son to Rashford for a few weeks, or Everton, West Brom, and then Newcastle. But then they have got Chelsea away and then City away. So two tricky fixtures there. So I wouldn't be packing my team full of United options, but I'm definitely looking at maybe adding to Bruno Fernandes for the next 3 weeks. I think my choice would be Rashford. What about you boys?
For me, it would probably be Rashford, just because Man United have already beaten Everton twice this season. So they could probably do it again. They seem to have the formula to make it work. And Everton have this knack at the moment. When we're behind, we tend to just throw caution to the wind for the last few minutes. And we've conceded like 90th minute goals. It happened against Manchester United twice, I think, where Cavani popped up at the end to win it, to make it 3-1 on both occasions, I think. But that could well be Rashford next time. So there's going to be space in behind Everton, especially if Man United go 1-0 up, which on their goal scoring form at the moment, you wouldn't put it past them.
Luke, what's going to happen with Cavani and Tony Martial? Are they going to rotate now for the rest of the season, do you think? Or is one of them a firm starter? Because obviously Cavani did start against Southampton, and at half-time, Martial came on.
I wouldn't like to say, especially as Martial came on and got his two goals and actually looked like he could suddenly finish again, which was nice to see. I think Cavani has to be first choice now. We play much better when he's the focal point. Whether he does that or not, I don't know. I wouldn't like to say pick one or the other. The good thing about Martial is he can play on the wing as well, and he quite often does. You'll have like a Cavani, Martial, Rashford front three. But then Rashford plays better on the left when he can cut in on his right foot. So I think you can't guarantee Cavani starting every game, but I think he should play the majority going forward. But it's just an opinion.
Was it a fitness thing that didn't see him starting at the beginning of the season? Because it took a while for him to really find his feet, didn't he, at Man United?
Yeah, I think so. I think they were bedding him in. Yeah. What do you think, Adam, in terms of United options for the next few weeks?
I think they've got amazing fixtures, but I can't see which of their players I would invest in. The Everton game's a funny one for me because I don't necessarily see that being a high-scoring affair. I'm pretty sure, Rich, you might have better knowledge than me on this, but I'm pretty sure Alan's back.
Yeah, he was meant to be back, yeah.
That makes you a bit more of a Everton, a bit more of a better option defensively. Rashford wasn't on great form before the Southampton game, but you never know. That game against Southampton may have sparked him into life. But I'm not that interested in having two United attacking options because I think there are a number of other form options out there. So I don't necessarily need to make that jump. And I think one thing I have learned this season is I'm quite happy to have a maximum of two players from each side, and I'm probably not going to double up as far as attacking options. Although I have on occasion to kind of take advantage of fixtures. So I probably wouldn't jump on their attacking options. I like their defence purely based on the fixtures. I know that sometimes they do look a bit shaky. I think Shaw's good for me. And the reason we're going for Shaw in the experiment team is we've got a fairly decent bench. And so if he doesn't play, we're not too fussed because we've got someone like Dallas who might come in. Although, to be honest, Dallas could potentially be a first choice option because he's essentially playing in midfield at the moment. But I quite like the defence, and I think I'll probably go for a United defender. But I don't know whether I'll go for them this week because I think Everton could score against United, and DCL getting back in the goals, you know, strikers are all about confidence, and he could quite easily go on another run again. Yeah. You know, there are so many players that are a threat in that Everton team, irrespective of the fact that they're not in form. So I look at players like Richarlison, and if you've got Rodriguez coming off the bench and Sigurdsson, they're all goal scorers. They've been goal scorers in the Premier League down the years. So I don't know if I jump on United defence I don't know if how eager I'd be to jump on their defence this week.
As we've already spoken a bit about Son, should we just do a quick yes or no? Would you keep him before we talk about West Ham?
Yeah, okay. Luke, would you have Son in your team?
I wouldn't have him. I've got him at the moment and I'm going to keep him for West Brom at home. Can't get rid of him before West Brom at home.
No, I suppose. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I've got him too in my own team. I'm going to keep him for the West Brom fixture because West Brom are by far and away the worst defence in the Premier League. I wouldn't rush to bring him in, certainly based on the last two games.
Definitely keep him. Definitely keep
him. Okay, good Son chat, everyone.
Yeah, love that.
Are we going to talk about anything else? West Ham, we were going to talk about West Ham, weren't we, quickly?
Yeah.
Because they look half decent at the moment. Got that win over Villa. Sorry to say, Ben, but Jaylings.
Right. We need to put a stop to this now. Just because they put that on their official Twitter account. No, I'm sorry. I'm not. We're calling him Jesse Lingard on this podcast. I'm stepping in as a producer here. Sorry.
You two say Tony Martial, which is just as bad.
Yeah, no, that is bad.
And Bobby Firmino. God, I hate that so much.
All right, Jaylings then. Fair enough. You made a good point. Right, Jaylings. Oh,
yeah, Jaylings.
Hate it.
Again, he's a decent value midfielder who's, you know, throughout the years in the Premier League has scored a lot of goals and scored in a lot of cup finals as well. He knows where the back of the net is. But I wouldn't be bringing him in.
I think it's really high risk because you've only seen him play in one game. But also Martinez, who's been brilliant this season, what was he doing for the two goals? You would have expected him in the form that he's in this season to save both of those.
Well, I mean, we did that. He got save points as well in that game, Martinez. You know, he was being peppered. Like, I mean, it looked like a very uncharacteristic Villa team. Like, they just weren't organised at all. And West Ham were doing everything that we've been proud that Villa have done all season so far. They were passing it freely. They were finding the space. Like, we just looked completely and utterly disorganised. And actually, Martinez was a bit of a hero in terms of just how many great saves he did make as well. Because actually, the scoreline probably should have been bigger in West Ham's favour.
I remember last season I was saying that every team, apart from Liverpool, is a mid-table team. This season, everybody's a Europa League contender.
Yeah.
Everybody looks like they could be pushing for one of those Europa League spots. Manchester City may be just edging ahead of it at the moment. But, you know, everybody down to like 10th, 11th looks like they're half decent to have a decent chance of getting a European spot, which is quite odd. But anyway, just going back to West Ham. Surely Antonio's got to be top of that list now in those mid-range striker options. Because, all right, Bamford has done quite well over the last couple of weeks, apart from the Everton game. But Antonio, he's just the main man, really, isn't he, in terms of attacking for West Ham? He's such a good forward player.
He's been so unlucky not to score more goals as well in the last couple of weeks. He had one against Villa where he lobbed it over the top of the keeper. I can't remember who cleared it off the line. Could quite easily have scored more against Palace. He's had so many chances. So you just know at some stage he's going to provide more goals. But this tweet was really interesting because he was also more of a provider as well. So I think any player that's got goals and assists, if they can offer both for around 6 million too, and you've got all those players behind that can add goals, Socek, Lingard, Benrahma.
And Cresswell's, I think he's the top scoring defender as well at the moment in the game, isn't he? Or he was.
Yeah, there's loads of good options there, isn't there? And it's choosing which ones to have. I've got Souček, Soufal and Fabianski at the moment from the hangover from the bench boost. So this week I'm looking to move Soufal out in order to bring Antonio in. And I think I'll probably bring him in for Calvert-Lewin, who's got trickier fixtures. I mean, having said it, he's got Fulham next, but then they've got City and Liverpool. Antonio is about to go into Fulham and Sheffield United before his fixtures get a little bit trickier. So I think, you know, or I suppose the other option would be to move Watkins out for Antonio. But I've just got to stop having this bench headache every week. I just want to get my bench down to those 4.5 players that I'm never going to consider playing because I hate having those points on my bench. Just not fun. You say, I've got a strong bench, but it doesn't matter if all your players play. You know, I'll happily have someone like Lowton, who's 4.4, who might get a clean sheet. And if he gets a clean sheet on a week when you can bring him in, that's fine. But yeah, I've got to rectify this. It's so annoying each week. I never know who to play and who to bench.
All right, well, should we start to wrap up then? We've been nattering on long enough. Let's quickly talk about what transfers we're going to be making for this game week. There's a couple of double game weeks down the road, so I guess we'll talk about that on the next episode. But we're going into game week 23. Are you doing any transfers, Luke?
Yeah, as I've said, I probably will. I've got two. Well, I've got two free, so I'll definitely do one. I'm just not sure what it's going to be yet. I mean, Robertson's on the chopping block. Again, the bench needs sorting out, so I'd quite like to move one of my defenders down to a cheaper option and then do something else elsewhere, or maybe take one of the strikers out. Depends on a formation. And obviously, I've just remembered that Everton, of course, have got a double game week in game week 24, so I think it'd be silly to take Calvert-Lewin out before playing Fulham and then Man City in the same game week. I think I'll probably hold on to him. And I've got three City already, so I perhaps won't be making any moves with that double game week in mind just yet. I don't really see the value in having more than one Everton for those fixtures, because one of the games is against Man City. So, it's really difficult to make decisions after pretty much all of your players have just returned. I'm not going to get rid of Salah because he's still right up there, second highest score in the game. You know, he's got a hat trick in him. There's no point getting rid of Salah. I want to keep Son for West Brom. Don't really want to get rid of any City options because they're on fire, you know. So it's kind of, who do you get rid of? I'm going to have to get rid of a player that's just returned. So I suppose it might be finally time for Robertson to leave the team. And I am interested in Marcus Alonso. In Alonso. Goal-onzo. remembering him from seasons past, and maybe Chilwell will come back in. But if so, I'll have someone on the bench to cover him if he doesn't play. So I don't know. Very left field, risky pick that one. But I look at live FPL each week, and this week my team was 81% very template, and I don't like that. I want one player or two players that are a bit of a differential. So,
mate, Alonso, 2.4% selected. What a differential that is.
And they've got good fixtures, Chelsea, really, as well. Do. They're coming into good fixtures. And if they keep keeping clean sheets and goal, Alonso's got a goal threat in him. He's playing wing back, you know.
43,461.
Adam's laughing at me calling him goal, Alonso.
Goal, Alonso. I'm just deciding which one I like least, Jaylings or goal, Alonso.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I just keep getting small red arrows. It's annoying. So we'll see. Captain is, I don't know who I'm going to captain either. Probably Bruno Fernandes against Everton. I think he's a safer pick than Son, but I am thinking about Son as well. What about you?
Yeah,
what about
enough. You? I don't think I'm going to make any transfers this week. I think I'm going to save it for the double game week. I think that's what I say right now. But the captain's armband, I think I'm going to stick it on Justin. He's been in good form. Leicester have been all right. They got Wolves away. Madison.
I was like, what?
Not Justin.
I was like, what is going on?
James Madison. Not James Justin. James Madison. It's too early in the morning to be doing these podcasts. Madison away at Wolves. I fancy Leicester there, to be honest. What about you, Adam? Not Justin, presumably?
No, definitely not going for Justin, although I wish I'd gone for Madison a couple of weeks back. I went for Grealish, and Grealish is definitely more of a creator now. He's not having so many shots on goal, and I've got Grealish in my midfield, and I'm thinking I'd quite like to get rid of him, but he probably won't go this week with the doubles coming up. I've got two transfers. I'll probably try and save one, but Robertson's in my defence, and I'm just considering what to do with him. Maybe it'll be Golonzo. Maybe that'll just be lodged in my brain for the rest of the day, and I'll end up hitting that trigger. But I'm also looking at United at the back as well as potentials. I think Fernandes is the obvious captain choice. I think that's the way a lot of people will go, and it's almost a bit dangerous not putting the armband on him. But if Pogba comes back, there were some really interesting stats. I don't know if you follow Big Man Bakar on Twitter, and he was looking at it from an FPL perspective and how Pogba affects Fernandes. And I mean, he does. He affects his output quite significantly. So that makes me think, is this chance, given that I've had a couple of red arrows, to go for a bit of fun, because that's what FPL is actually about. I might have a look at Bamford, because Palace are fairly depleted, and I think it looks like they're not going to have Zaha, or I might have a punt on Antonio against Fulham, who obviously lost last time out to Leicester, and Antonio and West Ham have been pretty good. But there, you know, it feels fairly risky. Normally I'm quite safe with captain choice, but those two are definitely on my mind.
But this is the season to definitely, you know, put it onto a mid-priced midfielder or something like that, because as we've seen throughout the season, they continually impress over the premiums. What about you, Ben?
I'm trying to decide, captain's armband on Son, or I do fancy West Ham to absolutely smash Fulham. I don't know why, so maybe Antonio.
Yeah, it could be a shout, because they just haven't particularly been in any kind of form at any point of the season, really, have they, Fulham? So West Ham, Davy Moyes.
Well, boys, Adam, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Good luck with your game week.
Thank you very much, mate.
Going to listen to the FBL experiment this weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed is a good one. We're going for Fernandes captain and keeping it safe and going for United at the back. So really confident about that after Luke said, yeah, don't go for United at the back. They're really shaky. So.
Yeah, thanks so much, Adam. Appreciate you coming on, mate. And good luck, everybody.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together, and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal training session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. Which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.